Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? What? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut.
I'm going to sell you on a guy that I already know you're not buying. All the deep dives.
Caillou, the kid that whined. I'm going to be frank. Sometimes I want a Clifford and Bear in the Big Blue House to go over and just knock him around.
I think they will win. They're back at home.
I'm going to go off here.
Hans, come in here like poking the eye.
I literally just create madness. I put a packet of mild sauce.
The one Taco Bell packet was a little...
That was strange.
I don't know. Their secondary grades out is the worst. High scoring, take the over. He who had injury,
King Derek the V.
Is it better to have two defensive coordinators or none?
Or none.
They have Tua's brother. It's easier than to pronounce. Yeah.
This song I really dislike.
Hans.
Trevor's on fire right now.
You got to be a trendsetter.
14 team, all heavy favorite. How dumb am I for doing that?
Yeah, you're dumb.
Aaron Lemming coming up here in a minute, writer for the Bear Report. Talk a little Bears, Packers, get you updated on the Red Sox, Astros as we go along. Maybe even talk a little more Illini basketball. I don't think you can ever talk enough that as we go along. But right now, we're going to welcome in our good friend, Andy Kurtz from Premier Sound. How are you, buddy?
What's happening, buddy? How are you?
Are you back on Midwest time zone now?
Not really. Physically I am, but my mind and body is not yet.
Yeah, I was going to say, you had a great trip out west. Obviously, I saw the pictures on Facebook, and you had a grand old time, my friend.
I did. You know what? And if, you know, we're all huge sports fans, obviously, if you're listening to your show. But if you could ever go see an NHL game, I mean, if you just, and I like football. I like NFL.
Oh, yeah.
College. But an NHL game, there's just something about it that just, it's unbelievable.
It's
just the speed, the pace,
yep,
the action. It's just unbelievable.
That's the same impression I get from everybody that has just seen their first game like live. They're like, holy crap. I'm like, I know. It's that good.
It is. It's that good. And out in Vegas, everything, the production, everything, the show, everything, right? So I highly recommend an NHL hockey game.
Well, you have the tools with your TVs now that seemingly are bigger than my truck to put into a house and people can watch hockey and you almost act like you're there. How are you doing in terms of the TVs and everything? I mean, are you still got them rolling? I know it seems like even Laffy Taffy you can't get at the store anymore. So how are you guys doing with that?
You know what? We're doing okay. We kind of planned ahead.
Sweet.
And we have TVs coming in, and just one in particular, talking about sports and watching them at home, an 85-inch TV, Sony, 4K, smart, has all the features built in, streaming, of course, Wi-Fi, 85-inch with a picture quality that will literally blow you away for $19.99. It's on sale.
Wow.
So they're running. My competitors and other people throughout are starting with Black Friday and some pricing.
Yep.
And we're just going to follow suit. So you could get an 85-inch TV. You couldn't even get that a few years ago. You couldn't get a 50-inch or a 55-inch for that price, right? That's what those were going.
That's
now
incredible.
Now you're talking an 85-inch TV for under $2,000. And I have them on display, and I have them in stock, and I have a few of them sold and have a few left. It's incredible, this TV and this picture. Come in and just take a look at it. And, of course, we could throw a sound bar with it or...
Yeah.
Any type of Sonos sound system you'd like, so that's easy. But these TVs today, getting bigger and better, and obviously cheaper, even now that we're running some Black Friday type specials right now.
Well, and the last thing I wanted to bring up, the last thing I'm going to do is grab that 85-inch TV and try to install it myself. No way am I buying something and immediately breaking it. Thankfully, you guys will come out and do that for me.
I'd like to see, you know what, Lon? I'd like to see you install. I want to see, you know what, I might pay you. I think I'm going to pay you to install that TV because I want to see it and video that. We can let the world see you install an 85-inch TV.
I'd be like, Darren Pratt, you don't know what you're doing, Darren. Move over. Let the expert
go. That's exactly right. Get out of the way. That's exactly right. We have, of course, installation. We sell it. We service it. We deliver it. We set it up. And we're always matching or beating everybody's price in town. So that's not a problem. We can set a TV up in town, an 85-inch. Now, depending on what you have on the wall, if you want us to hide the wires.
Sure.
But you're looking to hang a TV like that, $200 to $300. That's for two guys to take care of all of that. And then you might need some parts or pieces, depending on if you need a bracket or not. But very reasonable. So for around $2,500,
everything.
You have parts, brackets, wires coming down the wall, installed. Tough to beat. Really
Boom.
Tough to beat. And an 85-inch TV, once you watch an 85-inch TV, you'll have trouble going back to your bedroom or your other TV. You will.
I can only imagine. How do we get there to see this on display at Premier Sound? Where's it at? And how can we call you, my friend?
Yes, sir. Come see us at the corner of Prospect and Bradley in Champaign. Or you could call us at 217-355-5300.
Shop local. And that means supporting a guy like Andy Kurtz, who's been doing this for so long and does so many things for people that we don't even know about. We appreciate you, my friend, as a local business. Thank you so much, Andy.
Thanks, Juan. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right. That is Andy Kurtz, Premier Sound. Heck, you could have watched, you had that 85-inch TV, you could have lip-read what Aaron Rodgers had to say, Derek Piper.
You can hear it loud and clear. You
I was
going to
say, you don't
any of that.
I wonder if Aaron Lemming was standing right next to Aaron Rodgers when he did that. What's up, buddy?
Man, you're just getting a little happy with yourself, huh?
He's throwing shots.
6-0, and the Bears are losing Aaron Rodgers, and here we go.
I have to admit, Aaron, this whole week I've had to bring that up once a show, and then Derek tells me today that Tom Brady's getting in on the act. I mean, what is going on up there for you guys?
Well, what did he say that wasn't truthful? I mean,
right.
That's really what it comes down to. Yeah, is it frustrating? I mean, I would assume so, but I mean, here we are. He's 22-5, including the playoff game against the Bears in his career.
Oh.
I mean, what else is there to really say at this point? You know, it's just, it is what it is. It's unfortunate, and you just kind of have to hope that this is going to be his last year and, kind of go from there.
At Aaron Lemming, NFL, I'm throwing the softball toss here, and then I'm letting Piper get nitty-gritty. Every Bears fan I know wanted to see Justin Fields in this lineup. He is now in this lineup. Obviously, there's a learning curve to being a rookie in the NFL. What do you think so far, Aaron, and what has he shown you that makes you believe that he is indeed the guy going forward for this Chicago Bears team?
Well, it's one of those things where and trust me, I was included in the, pounding the table for Justin Fields to start. I thought he should have started from week one on because there was really nothing to see with Andy Dalton. It didn't really make any sense. With that being said, you kind of had to go into it with the thought process of he's a rookie quarterback behind the bad offensive line with minimal weapons in a terrible offensive scheme. There's going to be growing pains regardless. I mean, I don't know, if you guys ended up watching any of the Patriots and Cowboys game from the other day, but I mean, the perfect microcosm of everything with a rookie quarterback was in two plays with Mac Jones. Mac Jones throws a pick six and it looks like the game might be over. The very next play, he throws a pass and there's some blown coverage and a 75-yard touchdown. It's one of those situations where you have to look at it and you have to say, okay, he's flashing and he's also making rookie mistakes. That's what's to be expected right now. I mean, I think in terms of the positive, I think you're seeing a lot of the things that Ohio State, that Bears fans had hoped. I mean, that's really all you can expect in this type of situation. And as a rookie, it's going to be inconsistent, but I think the arm talent there, the athleticism's there. The deep balls are there when he's actually throwing them. Obviously there's some negatives too. I mean, his overall processing speed needs to improve, what rookie quarterback doesn't. But I think, in terms of what he's surrounded with right now and the situation that he's in, all things considered, I mean, this is going about according to at least my expectations so far. I mean, it just kind of is what it is.
Aaron, when you look at some of the mistakes, not that he was the only one making them in that Packers game, but a couple really stand out in terms of the Bears who started fast and not able to build on that and to take more control of the game. He throws the interception where he thinks he has an offsides and he just kind of throws it up for grabs there in the end zone. And then right before halftime took a sack when they were pushing the brink of field goal range. And maybe that was more, I'd be curious your opinion, was that like play calling, should they have done a better job of settling for the three than putting Fields in that situation? But what did you make of those two mistakes? Just kind of the things that he did that put the Bears in a tough situation as the game went on to win that game.
Yeah, I think with the interception, you know, that's just one of those situations where there was a clear miscommunication. And, I mean, he did it, and that's the crazy thing, is he did it twice in the same game. So what it tells me is he's expecting Allen Robinson to go to the back of the end zone. And whether or not that's his fault or not, I really don't know. I mean, Matt Nagy was asked about it, and he was pretty vague as usual. Surprise there, right? But you look at that last drive going into halftime, and I think it was a combination of a few different things. I mean, obviously, Fields is not without blame in that situation. You can't take a sack there. You can't do it, and I think that's kind of one of the things in terms of processing speed and just his overall pocket awareness, spatial awareness within the pocket. It's obviously something that he needs a lot of work with, and that was kind of something that we saw at Ohio State last year when they had a lot of issues on their offensive line due to COVID. But I think it's one of those situations where if you go back and you look at the overall drive there, it seemed like instead of the Bears trying to actually say, hey, we're going to go down for a touchdown, the thought process the entire time was we're going to go down and we're going to hope that we can get a field goal.
Yeah.
And I think, at least in my opinion, that's the bigger mistake there, because it's like, as we've seen with Justin Fields, you know, whether it's the scripted drives in the beginning of the game, whether it's the two-minute offense towards the end of the game, whatever it may be, he seems to be better when he's not having to consistently think. So if you get into a two-minute drive towards the end of that half and you go down attacking for a touchdown and not attacking for a field goal, I think it results in a different result there. Not to say that they would have got the touchdown, but, you know, who knows? Maybe they get down on the 20 or the 15 or something there, makes it an easier field goal, and then you don't have to worry about taking the sack. But I think the overall thought process from Nagy, and he goes back to, you know, talking about BU, and I think what we're realizing about Matt Nagy is, regardless of what he portrays himself to be, the reality is that he's actually a conservative coach. Regardless of what quarterback's in, you know, he's not going for the touchdowns in these types of situations. He's going for the field goals, and those are the kind of issues that you're going to have, regardless if it's a rookie quarterback or not, where one mistake, and we've seen this with the offense a lot, one mistake can derail an entire drive, and unfortunately it derailed him right at the end of the half.
Aaron, to follow up on that in terms of scheme, and you mentioned it earlier in your comment about just being a obviously, with Nagy now with years, but regardless of the quarterback, there's been a lot of question marks about what he's putting together. It was a very conservative game plan against the Raiders where they didn't have to really open it up. They could rely on the defense running the ball. And, of course, in Green Bay, you knew you're going to have to score a little bit more. They opened it up a little bit more, and now they're going to Tampa where you face a really stout run defense. What are you expecting in terms of how they will approach that? Do you expect more Fields in the gun and having to wing it around, and how close are we to that being kind of the reality for the Bears? I know it will depend on matchup, but just kind of opening it up and taking maybe the handcuffs off or whatever you want to say in terms of letting Fields just kind of go.
Well, at some point in time, they're going to have to throw the ball more. I mean, that's just all there is to it. I mean, if you look at it in terms of overall pass attempts, in terms of all these rookie quarterbacks right now, the starting rookie quarterback, Justin Fields is dead last. You know, attempts per game and attempts per start, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, it goes back to a few weeks ago, and this is something I've wrote about a few times in terms of the Bears have established an identity, and that's fine. That's well and fine, but sure. That identity is they're a run-first team. The problem is this is 2021 and not 1991, and that type of mentality, that type of approach doesn't work. And I understand you want to protect your rookie quarterback. The offensive line has been bad in spots for sure. It's been inconsistent, you know, to say the least. But at the same time, at some point, in order to further the development, in order to bring him along quicker, and in order to have just really a better offense as a whole, you have to trust him to make throws, and you have to allow him to make throws more. And like you pointed out, I mean, the Bucs defense is allowing less than 60 yards in rushing every game. I mean, they're first by a long shot in terms of rushing defense in the NFL. I mean, and we saw the same thing last year from the Bears. They tried to go and run the ball. Obviously, that didn't work out too well, but they ended up winning the game overall. But it wasn't a good offensive performance. And, yeah, I think really what you're looking at right now is, and this is kind of where the conundrum is going to be for this Bears offense, is the Bucs have a great front seven. They have a lot of talent. They have a lot, you know, whether it's, you know, against the run, against the pass, they have a lot of good talent on the front seven. But at the same time, their secondary is banged up. Antoine Winfield may not play again with the concussion. We'll have to see how that goes. I mean, two of their three starting corners are out, plus Richard Sherman's out. I mean, you're talking about bottom of the depth to our guys that are going to be going there, especially at corner. And, you know, obviously we'll have to see with Stacy. But, I mean, I think the big question is going to be, can the Bears' offensive line hold up enough to where the Bears can attack the, you know, banged-up secondary? Because we saw the same thing last week against Green Bay, where Green Bay had a banged-up secondary as well. They're missing, you know, two of their three starting corners. And the Bears didn't throw the ball that well. And when they did throw the ball, it was, you know, it wasn't really overly effective out of about two drives. So that's kind of the issue you put yourself in when there's so many holes offensively, where, right, whether it's the offensive line, whether it's the overall scheme, the play calling, a rookie quarterback. I mean, you can kind of pick one and throw it at the dartboard, and it's an issue.
One issue that I noticed today, actually looking through fantasy stuff, sorry, I was doing that, Allen Robinson with 36 targets, right? I mean, Darnell Mooney, excuse me, is, you know, 39. He's done well this year, kind of coming on, but Allen Robinson only has 12 more targets than Cole Kmet. I'm thinking I'd want to see the ball thrown his way a lot more. I know Fields missed him deep last week. Is that something you think the Bears will try to, on purpose, try to get Allen Robinson more involved?
I think they're going to, yeah, I think at this point they have to. But it's just, it's been a really weird, again, because they're not throwing the ball that much.
Right,
that's
exactly
kind of the issue, is the overall target share really just isn't there. And, you know, Darnell Mooney, and this is kind of the thing that I wondered going into the season, is if they were going to be able to, or more the point, if they were going to force Darnell Mooney into that, you know, that wide receiver number one role. You know, he was going to be kind of the guy because, I mean, let's be honest, Allen Robinson already wasn't happy about being tagged.
No.
And, I mean, you just kind of talked about his numbers. It's not going well, right? So it almost kind of makes me think that they are going to continue to feature Darnell Mooney. Obviously, they need to get Allen Robinson going, but they need to get the entire passing game going. I mean, Darnell Mooney's the leading receiver for the Bears. And if you put him on the Buccaneers, just in terms of numbers, obviously, but if you put him on the Buccaneers right now, he's the fourth leading receiver for them. So, I mean, it just kind of gives you an idea of how anemic this pass offense has been overall.
Good call.
And yeah, it's disappointing because I think, you know, Allen Robinson is still the best receiver on the team. He's still their best offensive weapon, but unfortunately it seems like they've made a concerted effort to, I don't know if I'd say phase him out more than, you know, simply we're going to involve Darnell Mooney more in the game plan. But I mean, when it comes down to it, when you're throwing the ball, you know, 17, 18, 20 times a game, or, you know, even in a, you know, a throwing situation, when you're throwing the ball 26 times a game, there's just not going to be a lot of target shares out there. And the one thing I will say with Allen Robinson, and I don't know if it's just a lack of activity, frustration, what it is. I mean, there's been a few different plays that he has not made this year. I mean, we're talking 50-50 balls, certain plays that he would normally make that he just hasn't made this year. So I don't know if that's another trust factor or what the deal is. But this entire offense right now is kind of an enigma. I think a lot of people are trying to figure out what exactly they're trying to do and how they're going to get them on track if they can't.
Aaron, I do want to ask you about Eddie Jackson, who's been a lightning rod of conversation here for the last couple of weeks. But before I do that, I want to start on the positive side of the defense, because I think overall they have taken that step back towards closer to who they were in 2018. They're not the best defense in the league by any means, but they're a legit top 10 defense for what they've shown. I think the front seven in particular has been strong. What have you seen that you've liked out of the defense in terms of the pass rush and maybe even like Jalen Johnson outside of one play against Adams late, which was a backbreaker, but for the most part, he's been pretty good.
Yeah, I think, man, the Bears defense has been impressive. I mean, obviously it always helps when you can get guys like Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn going. But I think it just as a whole, I mean, they've had a lot of contribution from a lot of different guys, especially along the front seven. Roquan Smith has been outstanding this year. Alec Ogletree has been good in spots. Trevathan's been good in spots when he's played over the last few weeks. You know, and I think it's even more impressive, especially from, you know, the standpoint of Sean Desai, where he's really kind of able to scheme around the fact that he has a very inexperienced corner group. And, you know, the secondary as a whole outside of Jalen Johnson really hasn't been playing that well. I mean, Kendall Vildor still giving up, you know, when he's actually being thrown at, he's given up quite a few catches. Same thing with Duke Shelley. But like you pointed out, I mean, this is the best the defense has looked since Vic Fangio was here in 2018. And I think that a lot of that credit has to go to Sean Desai at this point. I mean, that's the thing is, you know, I sit here and I talk about the, you know, the negatives of the offense and all that stuff. But the reality of it is, funny enough, is they're 3-3, and two of their three wins have came against teams that are 4-2 right now. I mean, it's not like they've had an easy schedule. It's not like they haven't had some impressive wins. I mean, they're really about where I expected in terms of record. But I think in terms of overall playing and how they've looked so far, I actually think they've at least exceeded my expectations to this point.
All right, I got to ask you about the guy who was at one time the highest paid safety in the game. I don't know if someone's passed him up since then, but the turnover was his big deal, like the Ed Reed kind of model. And in the last 22 games, he has one takeaway, and he doesn't like tackling a whole lot. He does like tweeting about Lance Briggs in terms of like kind of the Twitter spat there. What are you making of what Eddie Jackson's doing right now? And just that whole storyline with him is weird.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think living in the day of, you know, the social media age is definitely not good. And Eddie Jackson, I mean, even honestly, to a certain extent, Allen Robinson kind of been the same way over the last few years. I mean, that's funny because Eddie Jackson and Allen Robinson do the same thing. They tweet out something snarky, and then within 2 minutes, it's deleted. I mean, I've had both of them do it to me, and luckily I've been able to get screenshots of it just to have it. But
right.
Let's just put it this way. You know, coming after a writer, coming after a fan, whatever, is one thing. To go after a guy like Lance Briggs, really? Really, that's the guy exactly. that you want to target, you know, and then to quote tweet some pro football focus thing from 2011. It's like, let's be honest, you know, Lance Briggs is probably not a Hall of Famer, but he was a really, really, really good linebacker for the Bears for a long time. And I get it, you know, you get the different generations kind of going at each other. But that's Lance Briggs' job. I mean, he is being paid to commentate post-game or pre-game and post-game about the Bears. And let's be honest, I mean, Eddie Jackson, like you pointed out, he has one turnover. He's always been a gambling type of free safety, but his tackling has always been terrible. And the fact that he's not getting, and that's the thing, I've seen a few people kind of defend it and say, well, he's still doing pretty good in coverage. But it's like, if you look at his coverage numbers, especially pass rating against him, he's got one of the highest in the league, not only at safety, but at corner. I mean, he's not creating turnovers. He just doesn't look good because, like you said, he doesn't want to tackle. He didn't like tackling at Alabama. This isn't anything new for him. The difference was that he had help, you know, at the other safety spot before, especially with Adrian Amos back in the day. And all of a sudden, he doesn't have that, and he's got a guy in Deshaun Gibson who's somehow worse at tackling than Eddie Jackson is. And you have basically two guys that gamble a whole lot, and so far they haven't had any turnovers. And it's not a good look. It's especially going after Lance Briggs. There's a lot of guys I think you could go after, and you wouldn't get much pushback from fans. But Lance Briggs is definitely not the guy.
I agree. Aaron Lemming, writer for the Bear Report. Follow him on Twitter at Aaron Lemming NFL. I was looking at the schedule. And I guess I didn't realize this, but like you said, the Bears have played a tough schedule already. And oh, by the way, here's on the docket. At Tampa Bay, you got San Francisco at home. You go to Pittsburgh, and then you got Baltimore at home. That's the next four. I mean, that's legit. You could lose all four of those. I mean, this has not been a very fun schedule thus far for the Bears.
Yeah, well, I mean, going into the season, I think it was Mike Clay or maybe it was Football Outsiders. I can't remember which one it was. One of the ones that goes a little deeper into the metrics aspect. They had the Bears as having the toughest schedule in the entire league. And I like how you left out the fact that they've got the 6-0 Cardinals coming up as well. I mean, they've got, man, you want to talk about it. It's a tough schedule in terms of remaining strength of schedule. I mean, the Bears are second. I mean, Green Bay is the only one that has a higher strength of schedule than them right now. And obviously Green Bay's off to a much better start. I think that's kind of what I go back to, at least in the preseason and looking at the schedule, looking at the roster, looking at the quarterback situation. The fact that the Bears are 3-3 right now, all things considered, is pretty impressive because they really haven't, especially offensively, they really haven't looked that good. And I think, you know, I know a lot of people got upset about it, but I projected them at 7-10. I went back between 8-9, 7-10. But if they can finish with 7 or 8 wins, especially with the way the schedule panned out, because that's the thing, too, is a lot of people didn't see the Bengals or the Raiders being 4-2 at this point.
No.
Like, the schedule's even harder than a lot of people had originally expected. So, yeah, it's not going to get any easier, but at least for the most part, outside of, you know, the two games in the beginning of the year against the Browns and the Rams, they've hung in pretty well.
Yep.
We'll see what happens on Sunday, because I don't think anybody's really looking forward to that one, but... You know, it's just going to be a matter of keeping their head above water. But really, I mean, a lot of what's going to go on this season has got to be development, not only with Justin Fields, but a lot of the other younger pieces that they have on this roster.
Aaron, as a Bears fan, I can pencil in a good day on Thanksgiving, though, right? At Detroit?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's your savior.
That's the thing. I even feel bad. Like, it's funny. It's funny because usually it's fun to kind of go back and forth with Lions fans on Twitter. But it's gotten to the point, man, when Dan Campbell was crying at the podium a few weeks ago when they lost that heartbreaker to Minnesota, it gets to a point when you're looking at it, it's like, it's not even fun anymore.
No.
They're just at that point where they're rebuilding. They have Jared Goff. They're already talking about benching Jared Goff. Ugh. I mean, it's just, they are, for as bad as the Bears rebuild was back, you know, after the 2013-2014 seasons, you know, it's a lot worse for a team like the Lions, especially with the history that they have in terms of losing. Like, yeah, that's the only good news for the Bears, right? Is even if things really go badly, they probably already won more games in 6 games than the Lions are going to win all year.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's true. Last one for you, Aaron. I know that you know, obviously, the NFL as a whole, and I'm not asking this just so you can boost Lon's ego.
Oh,
so
boy.
Keep that in mind. But the NFC, we were talking earlier in the week, the strength of that.
Goodness.
Playoff picture right now. Who do you like in terms of like maybe a favorite, or what do you just think of what's setting up there in terms of that gauntlet of strong teams in that conference?
You know, so I've watched, and this is not, you know, just Bears related. I've watched a good amount of the Packers this year. I have to be honest. Really, I don't think the Packers are playing that good football.
Hmm.
I think there's three, at least in my opinion, there's three really good teams in the NFC right now. And obviously the Cardinals are in there. The Rams are in there. The Rams are my Super Bowl pick.
Yeah.
And then obviously Tampa Bay. I think those three teams right there are, I would say, head and shoulders. I guess you could maybe include Green Bay at the bottom of that list at a solid 4. But that's kind of the thing, right, is you start looking around the NFL as a whole, you have some really, really bad teams. And then you have a few really good teams, and then you have a lot of teams that are kind of in that, you know, that 3, or anywhere from that 2 to 4 wins.
Right.
Where, I mean, just looking at the NFC playoff picture right now, it's like even with the Bears and Minnesota and a few other teams sitting at 3-3, there's a lot of teams that are still in the mix. But, yeah, I think in terms of the overall, I between the NFC West, it's going to be very interesting, because, like I said, maybe there's a little bit of bias in there, but I had the Rams winning the NFC West, winning the NFC, and then winning the Super Bowl. But it's really hard to argue right now with the way Kyler Murray's playing and how well the Cardinals are playing as a whole. I mean, I watched that game against the Browns. My girlfriend's a Browns fan. It was a very short-lived game for her. And I'm just sitting there watching this, like, you know, at some point Arizona's got to start getting some respect, man, because it's like, 6-0 is one thing, but the way that they've won some of these games has been vastly impressive.
Agree. Totally agree with that. And for me, I'm just as or even more impressed with the defense than I am with the offense. And, I mean, Kyler, obviously, with that offense, it's ridiculous. Now you throw Zach Ertz in. Be interesting to see how that plays with that. But their defense has been rock solid, and it's been a fun thing to watch Vance Joseph and do what he's doing. So it'll be interesting. Well, listen, are you going to Tampa?
No,
okay.
I will not be there, no. So,
okay.
Good luck. I'm assuming it's probably going to be pretty hot there.
Oh, boy. There's no doubt. Old Raymond James, man, that's fun. Aaron Lemming, it is always great to catch up with you. Writer for the Bear Report, at Aaron Lemming, NFL. We always appreciate your time, Aaron. Thank you. Oh, wait, can I ask you one more? And I'm not piling on here, but how disappointing was the White Sox ending? That was stinking disappointing, Aaron.
Oh, it was very disappointing. But, you know, it was, at least to me, it was one of those, if you watch the White Sox a lot this year, a lot of their issues outside of pitching, the pitching was definitely a surprise, but a lot of their issues kind of came to light. They hit the ball on the ground a lot all year. They had bad fielding all year. They had a lack of clutch hitting all year, and it just kind of all came back. And Yeah, it's, I won't lie. I haven't watched another baseball game since. Just
wow.
Because it's like the White Sox are out of it. I don't particularly care for either AL team at this point. So, but yeah, no, it was a disappointing ending. And now they got to figure out what they're going to do. I don't know. It's going to be interesting because there's a lot of talent on that team. But at least in my opinion, I think a lot of these guys have to learn, as weird as it sounds, they have to learn how to play fundamental baseball better, because their fundamentals lacked all year.
That's fair, and that's a big part of it. I know Pipes and Trevor and I all had the White Sox going pretty far. I just enjoyed watching them play, but I wasn't as nitty-gritty as you to see all those issues. So I'm sorry to throw that in, but I know I wanted to get a White Sox fan's perspective on how they finished, because I know even me, as a non-White Sox fan, I was really disappointed because I was hoping to see some bonus Sox coverage this season, and that not being Boston. And unfortunately, that's what I'm seeing. Aaron Lemming? Thank you so much, my friend.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thanks again for having me on, guys. Always appreciate it.
All right, buddy. That is so nice of Aaron to join us. I mean, he's such a busy guy doing podcasts, covering the Bears, writing about that. I know I follow him on Twitter, and again, it's at Aaron Lemming NFL, and I know I could sense, because I am a guy that sends out disappointing tweets, I could sense from him watching the White Sox that he was not very happy. Mm. And it is interesting, you know, you talk about how fundamentals are such a big part of the game. You love the idea that the White Sox have a batting order that can just absolutely crush the ball, but yet you've still got to, you got to play defense, right? You got to do that on the other end, because a lot of times when the playoffs roll around, even though we're not kind of seeing it this year, normally the games are less scoring and it's more about fundamentals. So maybe that's something that they can take a step next season to get it done. Did he say anything about the Bears that surprised you?
No, not really.
You know what's amazing to me? I was looking at the stats. Khalil Herbert and David Montgomery both averaging 4.5 yards a carry. That's pretty good. And we talk about that offensive line and the idea that they've got to get better, especially at pass protection. Running the football has not been a problem for the Bears. And that's, you know, normally their MO, right? I mean, they want to run the football. They want to play defense. So you're getting the average, you know, again, if you're averaging 4.5 a carry, that's pretty stinking good. And Khalil Herbert is kind of taking that role for Montgomery, who got hurt and is kind of, you know, I mean, there's not been a drop off essentially. So, you know, you're still getting it there, but you, like you said, it's time to let Fields just kind of, let's go, right? Allen Robinson shouldn't have 36 targets after 6 weeks in the NFL. If you look at some of the top receivers, they've got like 52 targets, and Allen Robinson has 36. That's got to get better. I mean, you've got to start focusing more on him. And I know you like Darnell Mooney as well.
I like Mooney a lot, and taking shots on the field with him. And we even saw on that first drive, I believe, just being aggressive to throw it down the field and draw pass interference.
Exactly.
Like an easy 30-yard gain is something that with Fields' arm strength that you can test. Secondaries, like the Packers had Jair Alexander out. So it was a prime example, an opportunity to be aggressive downfield.
Exactly.
And Tampa Bay, same thing with their injuries in the secondary. But it's kind of jarring when I was running the numbers of Fields' four starts. I know that the Browns being his debut and how ugly and just awful that game was skews some of these. But
60 yards, I think he had passing.
And he got sacked, what, 9 times?
Oh, that's right.
But on average, through four starts, 140 yards passing per game. It's very low.
It's very,
very, very low.
For the NFL today?
Yeah.
When your average quarterback throws for 308, I mean, on a regular day, you're like, Davis Mills threw for 320? Yeah, that's low.
It's within the arm's reach of what Illinois is doing at quarterback in terms of yards.
Right.
I'd take Justin Fields, just to put that out there.
Yeah, well, I was going to say.
54% completion percentage, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, sacked 16 times in 4 starts.
Wow. It's a lot of sacks.
So it hasn't been super pretty.
No, it hasn't. But. I mean, can I ask you this? Have you been disappointed a little in Justin Fields? Not that you're expecting him to be what Kyler Murray is now. I mean, look, Kyler Murray had his moments as a rookie. But are you still a little disappointed in that you thought he'd be a little bit further ahead than what he is now? Or do you think a lot of it is just the offensive line? I don't know.
I do have the understanding of, like, what's around him. And then disappointed in kind of the play calling at times. And then there are limitations to how much you can just say, we're going to throw it a bunch when that offensive line can get him killed. And I, one thing that's convenient for me in terms of expectations is kind of looking around the league and seeing Zach Wilson go through his struggles. Trevor Lawrence hasn't been lighting on fire either. Mac Jones has had some moments, but even then, it's not like you've got the you haven't had the Justin Herbert from last year.
Right.
Where someone's just from the get-go taking over the reins and like, whoa, he's
been incredible.
He's lighting it up.
And no, there's no
doubt.
Not
that Fields can't be that guy ultimately or Lawrence, but I was a little disappointed with some of the things I saw in the Packers game, but then again, it's Bears-Packers. I'm kind of conditioned to be disappointed. So
exactly. U of I, Atlanta Lake text line, 217, two 217s, and Jerry all saying, how about the Cowboys? No love for the Cowboys, et cetera. First of all, let's tone it down a little with regards to this guy just lost all credibility, not including the Cowboys in that list to NFC.
I was waiting for it. Well, to be included. I put him on the spot. Yeah, I will tell you that.
As a guy that's been in the media, me, for 30 years, every once in a while, you kind of forget something.
Yes.
Let's back off a little bit on Aaron Lemming, who covers the Bears. He has no credibility. I mean, come on. He's on the, you know, we like literally on the spot asked him that question. And you can't spit. You're just never going to be able to understand. I mean, until you do this job. There are times where the most obvious thing goes right past you. And you're like, I mean, there's times where I'll be talking about the Cardinals and say the Cowboys and not realize I said the Cowboys. And then you're like, well, you meant the Cardinals. I'm like, oh, sorry. It's what we are. We're human. I guarantee you that he thinks that the Cowboys are a
contender. That conversation,
there's
please.
No doubt. I guarantee.
I don't want to put words in his mouth on where he has him in the pecking order. He mentioned a top three.
You know what? I'll
take ownership of that one because number one, I asked the question.
Right.
And number two, we've kind of been setting this tone of let's grill the reporters out there who don't have Kofi in the All American list. And now we've kind of already set the, well, if they admit something, we got to just go at them hard and heavy. So,
and I'm not yelling at you, 217. I promise I'm not yelling.
There are Cowboys fans everywhere. I'm sure there's some of that too.
It's just, look, he just forgot. I can promise. And I'll text him. And I'll say, did you omit the Cowboys on purpose? And if he did, then I'll come back and say, guess what? He doesn't like the Cowboys. it's obvious the Cowboys have what it takes. I mean, they have got a lot of firepower. Dak Prescott playing at elite level. Zeke looks like a fresh running back again. And a lot of that is that offensive line, right? They were so beat up, I don't think we even realized. Now, obviously, if you're a Cowboys fan, you knew it. But I don't think I even realized how much that affected that team last year. And, of course, with Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb has kind of taken that next step. He is a star on that team. And all of a sudden, I'm forgetting their third receiver. They've got a third one that's really good as well. Coop, Lamb, why is it not coming to me?
Yeah, who is there?
Don't they have a third? They have a third guy that's
pretty
good.
Really, in terms of their passing game, Dalton Schultz as a tight end has really
been good.
Emerged as a guy they target a ton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that defense is that's been a huge. I mean, aside from staying healthy offensively and letting that thing go like it was supposed to last year.
Yeah,
Trayvon Diggs, his play at corner had another pick for six that was a game changing play. Of course, then Mac Jones had to come back and respond to that. But
of course,
and then Micah Parsons, the rookie, getting moved from like middle linebacker to outside rusher, and he's
an athlete.
Super athletic.
Oh, he is so athletic. Scott and Ken, by the way, both basically saying that they'd like to see Fields play for a different coaching staff.
I'm good with that.
Yeah. That's scheduled, dude. Oh, Michael Gallup. Thank you. Thank you, 217. Michael Gallup. I mean, dude, you've got at Tampa, San Francisco at home.
We need that one.
You do. Because you could be 4-4 there.
Fields versus Trey Lance.
Yeah. At Pittsburgh, and you know, I mean, Pittsburgh, it's a Monday night football game in Pittsburgh. You know what they're going to show up and do, win. Then you get your bye week. Then you come back out with Baltimore at home. Then you're at Detroit on Thanksgiving.
Nice little Thanksgiving, and then we get the Cardinals.
Then you get the Cardinals at home. At Green Bay, Minnesota at home, then you're at Seattle. Russ will be back for that, we think.
Oh, perfect.
We think. Then you've got the Giants at home on January 2nd. So you're going to get a nice Thanksgiving and a nice New Year's Eve. Now, Christmas, you're at Seattle, right? And then you got at Minnesota, then you play Miami. Oh, no, wait, whoa, I just jumped into the preseason. Sorry. You finish with at Minnesota. So, I don't know. I think he's right. If you win six, if you win seven games with that schedule, that's pretty tough.
That is tough.
Of course, when you throw in the NFC West on that schedule, that's what makes the Packers and the Bears the top two toughest.
AFC North and NFC West.
And AFC North, right. That's true. Because those are, you're not really getting a break on any of those games. Especially
well, the Bengals got four wins.
I know. And you're playing Seattle late in the year when Russ will be back. So you didn't get a break there. So I don't know.
I think the Cardinals owe us the break is what you're saying.
Ooh. I've been worried about that game all year. You know, seriously, because I'm like, oh, no. It'll be endless if they lose again to the Bears.
Especially if they're undefeated.
Yeah. What's the, oh, don't even knock us off from the undefeated that week. Man, if we're undefeated at that point, we almost might have like the Z next to our name. Like you've made the playoffs or whatever, Y or whatever, X. I think X is for division. So that could be interesting when that rolls around. That's going to be fun, man. Noon game, December 5th. We should watch that together.
We should
watch that together. I thought about going to Chicago for that game, but I've also heard enough about Chicago. And it's not just Chicago. When I took Andrew to Tennessee, I mean, you can't get any better friends than, you know, or people than kids in Tennessee. I mean, in Nashville, right? They're just whatever. And I the whole time, I'm like, man.
Yeah, the worst thing you're going to hear is bless your heart. You know, right? That's kind of the underhanded.
That is not what you're going to hear in Chicago.
No, it's not. Nope.
I've been to Soldier Field a couple of times in my life with a Cardinals jersey on, and I have heard some interesting things. And I'm like, whoa, okay.
I apologize on behalf of the fan base.
Oh, but listen, you're not alone. You are not alone, man. And I love it, too. I love the passion. It's just, and you know me, I got nothing against drinking. But they, you know, NFL fans drink a little too heavy sometimes. Oh, some right. of them, and then they get a little bit, because that's pride, man. I mean, when I was at the Tennessee Cardinals game, there was a Cardinals fan in front of me that was mouthy. And I'm like, I just kept, like, he looked at me one point and said something, like, about the Titans. I'm like, you need to hold on, man. You need to slow down. And pretty soon, this one Titans fan got up, looked like he could bench press me on one arm and that guy on another. And he said a couple things to him, and I'm like, oh, here we go. This is how it starts. This is how it starts. So,
well, if you've got an issue, take it up with the major stakeholder, which being Aaron Rodgers of the Chicago Bears fan base.
We've got to take a break.
We do. It's a long segment.
Oh, that's the longest, I think, ever. Can you update us on the baseball game when we return? We'll do that next. It is a drive.
When it comes to your family and their safety, security is always at the top of the list. Having a trustworthy and reliable security system is one of those things you just can't afford to get wrong. Barcom Security understands the threats you face. Why? Because they're local and family-owned. No corporate phone messages, no long wait times, no miscommunications. Join the many Central Illinois residents who sleep soundly knowing they're protected by Barcom. Visit them today, barcomsecurity.com.
Barcom Security, have a secure day. Carpet Weavers is flooring their customers. They work with the biggest brands to bring you the best selections and prices on hardwood, luxury tile, carpet, and more. Stop in at 616 West Market View Drive in Champaign and let one of their sales associates help you find the perfect flooring for your lifestyle. Their 100% satisfaction guarantee allows you to be confident in your purchase. Carpet Weavers has been flooring people with beautiful carpet and flooring since 1988. In fact, they're nationally ranked as one of the top 25 specialty flooring stores in the country. Find out more online at carpetweaversflooring.com.
At Forward from Rastavi, Georgia, number 15, Georgie B.
Hey, it's me, Georgie B. My last 3 years in Champaign have been amazing, amazing, amazing. But the fun doesn't have to stop. Get down to Game Day Spirit to find the exclusive Georgie B. t-shirt collection. You will be glad you did. It's always a great day to have a great day at Game Day Spirit, baby. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop. Yes, sir.
If you're familiar with the world's fastest mower, then you already know about Dixie Chopper at Dedicated Diesel in Urbana, your local dealer for Rhino AG 3-point hitch and Batwing mowers. See the great end-of-season pricing on the Dixie Chopper and check out the full line of Lucas Oil products. Dedicated Diesel is the area's original liquid tube dealer with great season-ending deals on the world's fastest mower, the Dixie Chopper. For more details, visit Dedicated Diesel at 1306 Triumph Drive in Urbana.
Hey, it's Lante
and Derek Piper.
Join us live every Friday before home football games this season at Pia's Sports Bar and Grill.
We'll be giving away prizes, Illini football tickets, and more.
Come kick back, listen to our show, and grab a Slugger Burger.
It's College Game Day Live with Tay and Piper.
Every Friday before home football games at Pia's.
Han's going to be there?
Of course I'll be there.
Ah, great.
On ESPN Radio 93.5.
Stay healthy, active, and fit with the Urbana Park District. Several open gym opportunities are available to the public this fall at Brookins Gym, 1776 East Washington in Urbana. Open gym volleyball for people 15 and up, Friday evenings, 5:30 to 8:30. Open gym pickleball, Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 to 11 a.m. It's only $1 at the door for both open gyms. Find out details about Brookins Gym at urbanaparks.org at 217-255-8601. Urbana Park District, you belong here.
For the past 50 years, the dedicated team at Country Squire Cleaners has provided exceptional service at affordable rates. As a top dry cleaner in Central Illinois, they provide trusted dry cleaning and garment care. Country Squire will pick up and deliver to your home or office. And right now, Country Squire Cleaners is offering 20% off bedspreads, blankets, rugs, afghans, loose weave blankets, and down comforters. They're open Monday through Saturday. Country Squire Cleaners at countrysquirecleaners.com.
If you're in the market for a new car battery, you could go to one of those big box stores, except there's no guarantee you'll be served by an actual car expert.
Clean up in aisle three.
You could pick a battery off the shelf, except it might be close to expiring. Or you could just come into Interstate. Don't make a big box store blunder. With competitive prices and a more personal, reliable approach, Interstate Batteries is the clear-cut choice if you want to guarantee yourself a new and trustworthy car battery. They're open and ready to serve you at 2504 North Mattis Avenue in Champaign.
It's here. Champaign Urbana Pepsi Cola Bottling Company will deliver to your home in Champaign, Urbana, and Savoy. Just go to PepsiHomeDelivery.com and get started. PepsiHomeDelivery.com provides free, no-contact home delivery if you live in Champaign, Urbana, and Savoy for residential sales only. They also offer free curbside pickup at their Champaign warehouse on Anthony Drive. Champaign, Urbana, Pepsi-Cola Bottling Company will deliver in Champaign, Urbana, and Savoy. Go to PepsiHomeDelivery.com and get started.
Illinois Portable Toilets has been in business for over 30 years. They have toilets ranging from the most basic models to handicap, high-rise, deluxe flush, and luxury restrooms. They also provide single and multi-basin portable sinks. IPT is able to supply toilets and sinks for a wide variety of services, from construction sites to golf courses, festivals, concerts, private events, and more. They also provide and install holding tanks for job trailers. Go check out their variety of options at IllinoisPortableToilets.com. That's IllinoisPortableToilets.com.
Jeff Facer on what Area-Wide Technologies does.
We are a full-service technology company that focuses on business-to-business solutions for our clients, and we handle everything from the security of your internet network and data to implementation and administration of these things, as well as email and pretty much full-service of anything that a business would need technology-wise.
To find out more, go to areawidetech.com.
It's not something you want to think about this football season, but it's something everyone needs. Don't lose valuable tailgate time taking a long trek to find a public restroom. Call Illinois Portable Toilets and let them set your group up with a private portable restroom. Their orange and blue unit will fit right in, and their personal signage will prevent use from any uninvited guests. Give them a call today to set up your delivery at 217-344-5004. Go Illini, and go with Illinois Portable Toilets.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Something. Dort played at ASU.
Yeah.
You reminded me of that.
He did.
Trevor put a parlay together tonight that is like, the odds on this thing are ridiculous. And I sent it to Lucas, and I'm like, I think this is what I'm going to go with tonight. And he goes, I know like two guys on that list. And I was saying the same thing. I'm like, I don't even know what teams these guys play for.
It's all player props.
Ah, so the Warriors beat the Lakers last night.
They did.
That's, I mean, as a casual fan.
Curry made two threes.
That's it? So as a casual fan, is Klay Thompson playing?
Not yet.
He's still hurt. Or still almost back, probably.
Working his way back.
Okay.
Hasn't played 5-on-5. I think they said that last night. Wow. He hasn't quite done that yet.
But as a casual fan, I was like, wow, that's pretty good. That's a pretty big win for Golden State. Are they back? Were they back last year?
No.
No.
They'll be competitive. I mean, once they get Klay back, they'll be a playoff team for sure. You still got the three of Curry, Klay, and Draymond. And then you got some other supporting cast members. Like, they're still really fun to watch. They're not the machine offensively when they had KD and everything.
When we thought they were going to win 15 NBA championships.
Their ball movement's crazy.
Yeah,
and then they have every guy on this. On the court can shoot a three.
That's awesome.
So that was one thing that was really interesting. Like scheming wise, the Lakers were taking away Curry's 3-point attempts, but then they were leaving somebody open, and they just whipped the ball around and one pass lead another, and then it's a corner three, and they kept knocking them down. Jordan Poole, familiar name.
Oh yeah,
from Michigan, had a big night.
Why is it about those Michigan guys normally show up in the NBA?
They have. Yeah,
I hate to say that. Yeah, you brought up Duncan Robinson earlier.
And he was probably the most surprising of ones. Starter in the NBA?
That's unreal. Started for Miami, right?
Yeah.
Along with Kendrick.
Well, now Kendrick's on the Lakers.
Oh.
He was out last night.
That's right. I forgot about
that. But he's on the Lakers now.
Well, it's interesting. Bulls play tonight, right? So a chance to maybe see Io tonight.
Bulls at Detroit. Io on the opening night roster. Hope he gets in.
Where would a guy watch a Bulls game?
They're in NBC Sports Chicago or Comcast Chicago, the same kind of deal.
Okay. I might tune in a little bit.
Why not?
That'd be awesome if Io played, wouldn't it? That'd be really cool. I'm excited for this. I don't expect him to, but it'd be cool if he did. So what do we got for the Astros Red Sox?
Big Mo is on Houston's side now.
Uh-oh.
They're up 4-0 in this game. Comeback victory last night. They could make it 3-2 Houston going back home if they win this game, but it's 4-0 top six in Boston.
And tonight it's who pitches for the Braves?
Not sure, but it's Urias.
Urias for the Dodgers. Okay. And they're in L.A.? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And that series is 2-1 Atlanta. So Atlanta did their job at home, 1-2. Dodgers win yesterday. All right, we got to get out of here. Thanks to Aaron Lemming, writer for the Bear Report. I apologize to the 217. I did my old man. The older you get, the angrier you get quick. It's weird. But I just was like, why are you ripping? Look, can I explain
it real quick? You're defending our guy, Aaron.
Let me explain it, because here's the three texts that came in real quick. One said, no love for the Cowboys? ? Jerry said, what about the Cowboys in the NFC? Aaron must have forgot. Now, those are two good ways of getting your point across. And then the 217 was like, this guy just lost all credibility, not including the Cowboys in that list of NFC contenders. That's not how you do it. Just say, well, did he forget? Because I guarantee you he forgot. So there you go.
I get wanting love for the Cowboys. They deserve
it. I agree.
It.
I totally agree. I just talked us out of the song. That's my fault. All right.
Good thing Trevor's not here.
I'll be happier tomorrow, I promise. We're out. It's a drive.